this mark when you are finished and they are on their way. If you can let the citizens of Barovia know, we will hold services again. We will rebuild these pews. We will restore our faith. One small broken prayer at a time. Tell them, Ismark. And Ismark puts a hand on Donovich's shoulder and says, I will do so. And then turns to all of you and says, my father, his spirit is now on its way. It is time that we were on our way as well. We must return to the house, and then you must head forward with my sister.
It's a right good time to do that, lads. A right good time indeed.
All right. So I'm going to ask everyone to move themselves down to the house. Which is, as was written here, the house on Haunted Hill.
No, not again!
The House of Ismark and Irina, and it's actually spelled I-R-E-E-N-A, in case you're curious, Odd, but it's not really that important, but...
I'm sorry, I'm not sure which house. Is this the one all the way down to the side?
Oh, sorry.
I-R-E-E-N-A account.
That one right there, that I just, that I just directed us to. You see that, Rob?
Moving.
Keep
moving,
going, South.
Moving.
There you
my
go.
Party, this way, please. This way, please. This my party.
Okay. So you all return, you see both Zarama and Irina have been waiting anxiously. And when they come in, when you come in through the door, once you knock and sort of she allows you in, Irina sort of looks up at him and Ismark nods and says, "It is done." And Irina embraces him and holds him for a long time and then turns to all of you, her eyes shining, and she says, thank you. Thank you. I am ready then. Ismark, there was nothing last night. No attacks, no challenges, no howls. And Ismark shakes his head and says, perhaps Strahd trying to bait us. But nonetheless, I will not turn my nose up at good fortune. We are prepared to leave, Irina. We believe we are headed to the town of Kresk. On the way, we will be looking for their lost friend, a man named Rude.
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 I can't roll my R's, damn you.
That's rude. Right. One third of the population.
Rude, all right?
Just call him Vraxus.
That was just...
I'm just going to do it. I can't roll R's.
No, stop
just,
it. It's getting worse. Right. It's getting worse. 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 It's getting worse.
Well, you're encouraging him, so knock it off.
I know.
So
just gargle it. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like the alien in Enemy Mine. Locked. Like it's not. It's terrible.
Moving on.
Yeah. So.
I got that.
Okay. So you are prepared then to set out, which leads me to the question. I'll bring you back to the overall map. What direction are you folks planning on taking? Because obviously you've got what? What was that? What I missed?
Nothing. Okay. Just go.
Just you'll see it in the VOD. Don't worry about it.
All right. Let's see. Where the devil is? Okay. You know what? I can't even find it on my player map.
My Xavier took over my Mason for just a second there. I'm getting back control. It's fine. Why? What happened to my screen here? Whoa.
Okay. There we go.
Now you should be really zoomed in. Oh, you switched the screen. Okay, you did the DM thing. Yes.
Okay, so now the question is, what direction are you all going to go? Just before you go, Ismark shakes hands with all of you, embraces his sister again, and whispers something in her ear. She smiles, and then he turns to all of you and he says, my friends, when you return to Barovia, this small, tiny village will celebrate if it is within my power to make it happen. I will do what I can now to protect my people. But in the meantime, please be careful. Use caution. But do what you can to end the curse of Strahd. For his vision and gaze is upon us at all times. Most of all, and he looks at Irina, keep her safe, please.
No.
I said please. Okay. So now the question is, where do you folks want to go? Because you have obviously options. You could try to follow the road basically around and up towards Kresk. And I should say that Kresk, let me just a second as I pop up the...
I don't know about the rest of you, but this place got a red light district. Oh, but it do. All right, let's go.
So, where does everybody want to go?
give me one second here. So Kresk is up to the north. And let me just make sure that I know exactly where... Okay, good. That's what I thought.
Wasn't he spotted north forest? So we can go through that to Kresk.
Yes,
that was back the way we came. Yeah.
Right, okay, there we go. So it is off to the northwest. So Kresk is basically a good distance away. By Barovian terms, a good distance away. Somewhere up in, if you had to guess... I'll just ping it, like, somewhere there. So, I'll do it again. If you zoom all the way out, you'll be able to see it. Somewhere in that...
Try again. Oh, boy. Whoa.
Yeah. That's so, it's a good distance away. That's one option. And following the road is one way to do it. You could also try to go more directly, but as Zarama tells you... there, not that the road is safe, in quotes, but it's often safer... than what you could find if you were just going to, like, go directly through the forest and hope for the best, right? So there's that. And then the last option, of course, would be to try to see what you can do about it. I mean, you have other things, obviously, that you wanted to do as well. You had certain clues about things that you needed to find. You obviously were talking about Rood as well. So there were lots of different options that you were thinking about.
Well, I think we all agreed to do Rood first. We've got to find him.
Well, we kept
getting told. Nobody agreed to that. So, right.
But, and we were constantly told that he was going to come out of the shadows.
Right.
So
that will occur.
Never said when.
Never said when.
No matter what occurs, he will find you.
Time frames are weird in Barovia.
Yeah, like it's you know.
Exactly. For him, it may have been minutes were gone. So
right.
Never mind. I'll address that point in a second.
I'm actually not entirely sure what it is that we're supposed to do next, but I'm game to
defer. Right now we're escorting her to Kresk.
I thought I was going to ask, are we starting our escort quest?
Yeah. But the only question before that is, do we go off to the north, I think, north or northeast to find Rood? But I, you know.
Also, and also keep in mind that that was only where...
he was lost spot.
Stanimir. Stanimir. That's where Stanimir had seen him last, but that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, like.
And that was days.
Right.
That was
a couple days ago.
More than days ago.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah, I take that back. Yeah, it was a few days ago. That's right.
So almost it's pretty likely he's not there anymore. We can go look since it's sort of on our way, but I would not waste too much time. If Strahd is, begging your pardon, my lady.
We could go look where Stanimir said he saw him.
Yeah, because that's the opposite direction.
That's the opposite direction.
Stanimir said he saw him to the east.
The opposite direction.
I thought he said to the north.
No, well, northeast-ish, but like that was where he was, northeast from the camp, is like you're a little bit farther north of that now. So the point is mostly east is where he said. And just the claim is that you need that if you're going to Kresk, that's northwest. Also, I mean, I would point out that, you know, again, just a reminder that Valakai is still an option if you want to go there. But I, you know, you may not want to do that.
No, Weller speaks the truth, and I have other things to check out in Kresk. But he's right. Judging by the church here, the chapel here, a more fortified abbey would be the safest place by far for the lady.
I have been encouraged of late to respect local tradition a bit more than perhaps I have been. In light of that, I believe
there's some trepidation in using that word, that we can trust that we will find Rude along the way to Kresk.
It doesn't make the most sense if he was not here looking around the village of Barovia. Kresk is probably the next place he might be, since it is one of the larger settlements in the area.
If I had any better lead, I would share it with you, the lot of you, but since I don't, I'm willing to follow your lead, old man.
Well, I guess it's better than just going through the forest just blindly.
We should avoid that if at all possible.
I concur.
Those who stumble into the forest seldom stumble back out.
And shouting Rude randomly across the forest hither and thither is probably not the best idea.
Agreed.
So are we in agreement?
We did not see a single horse in this village, did we?
No. But you did not. You barely saw a single person until later on, and you started going inside buildings.
Well, there was one place with horses.
Where was that?
I would not want to travel one of those, and I don't think the Vistani would let us take them.
Yeah, I think they're using them.
No. It has to be given, not borrowed.
Ask not.
You do not want to bring the pleasure of the Vistani down on you, even you, my good doctor.
We're going on foot.
If you are to walk, it is. He looks up. A gloomy day for it, as usual. Again, welcome to Barovia. Shall we? We're pretty much setting her on foot.
I suppose there's no alternative then.
All right. I mean, if they happen to be at the campsite, we could certainly see if we could purchase, but I don't think we have enough money for all of us is the problem. They will happily sell us probably a horse or two, but the price is, I think, at this point, more than we poor party can pay, as far as I'm aware. We are not rolling in it, as best I know.
One of their kin is traveling with us. Perhaps it is not the worst idea to help us if we ask nicely.
And Zarama says, it is possible, but I do not think that they would wish for you to take these horses, for they need them too, and also where we go we may not have need or use for these horses, and they may come to danger. Horses are somewhat of a commodity here.
Well, we're certainly likely to come to danger too, my lady, but I do understand what you're saying. It was just a thought. If it will not work, we have two very good feet, each of us, and we'll get there nonetheless.
All right. And so you set off. Now, you're going to be following the road here. So you set out on your path, and again, as you leave Barovia and cross this stone bridge, this looks very much like the way that you described it before. That I described it before. There is still kind of a fog that is only very slowly lifting. Today, there's a little bit of a damp drizzle as well, so that certainly makes things even more pleasant. When you all arrive here, and let's see, have we got everybody?
It reminds me of home a little bit.
Okay, I don't see Zarama's token, I'm not sure why.
Never rains, but it pours, anyway.
There we go. Thank you for the follow, Heretic Slayer 56. Welcome to the Arvanites.
Hell yeah!
All right. So, as you all make your way through and sort of past the road, you come to that place where you've got the old wooden gallows that I've talked about before. It is, again, obviously as before, empty. And instead of going up the road that leads to the camp, She instead takes you this direction. So you begin to go up basically this way. These things you see here are hills, and some of the hills are rather steep ones. So as you go along, you can see that there's sometimes a kind of a hilly, almost like a ridge of forest, basically, as you're kind of going through it. And Alec, you in particular, and probably Mason too, would notice that as you're going along, this is like a fine place for an ambush. Like this is like not a great spot to be walking through. It's not that wide, and there's like forest on either side, and it's
so like, love these pathways of
really are we going over here?
Yeah. So you're going to be going, yep, that's right. I'm going to bring chat over so we can see where we are. Okay,
so the ambush point is, the ambush points are
everywhere.
Well,
left and right. Like, so, you know, the left and right, the west and east.
It's a big open field, and it's...
Yeah, but there's ridges, but they, because those little marks there are these ridges on which the forest is. So, like, it's kind of a steep ridge. But
are there still trees in that area?
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, there are trees. Okay. Like, they're, but they're going down. The slope is forested. So that's why it's even worse, because, like, you know, you would escape to what? A slope? Like, it's not great. Right. But there's nothing you could do about it. I mean, like, that's the way it is. But as you're going along, you know, you sort of hear all this kind of howling and stuff like that, deep in the distance, not like immediately, but chittering in the branches, occasional call of a far overhead, or sometimes coming from the forest itself.
She put an arena token down as well.
I did.
If this kind of adventure sounds good to you, check out barubiatours.com.
I'm sorry, I didn't, you're quite right. Hold on a second. Let me go get Arena. Come with me, Arena.
And you'll be in a You won't want to step here in this world of trepidation.
Hey, maybe that's actually where I should have, I should have you, like, just going down this road, like, going faster and faster, and no one knows where we're going, and da-da-da-da-da, like, you know,
I said, get my head cut off.
We'll begin with a spin, snapping necks in this direction.
There we go. This is what I was looking for. Okay. For a minute, you're going to see two.
This is fine direction. That would have been better, yeah.
Okay, now I think I've got it.
There we go.
Yep. And I'm going to get rid of one of the arenas. I mean, one of the, one of the Zoramas.
Funny yourself,
Okay. There is arena. Okay. And Django, you're behind them. I just want to make sure I get everyone in the right spot.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Bring up the rear. So, the winding road continues to happen, as you move around and through, curving around with the sort of the almost the edge of the forest, and you notice that as you're doing this, that although there are ridges all around you, in general the road is starting to climb. Like, in general, it's kind of climbing a little bit as it moves, and goes up towards, in fact, if you had to guess, goes up towards the spot on the other side of which Castle Ravenloft was actually set. So if you can imagine, like, you know, you're kind of doubling back around, basically. It's from a very big loop and going up the hill from which Castle Ravenloft was set, or on which Castle Ravenloft was set. And nice, so
that's all.
Yeah, it's a very pleasant, you know, so far, there has been nothing else to sort of, trouble you. Say again.
No Goliaths popping out of the forest.
Yeah, not so far.
Along the way, Weller is occasionally using Mage Hand to gather berries, leaves, bark, bits of mud.
Okay. All right. As you follow the dirt road, as it clings to what is increasingly obviously like a mountain, is honestly what it's starting to look like. Like, basically, it's like the hills have now given way to very steep slopes, especially to your right, basically to the northeast, is where the mountain in particular rises. And you follow the dirt road as it clings to the side of this mountain, and the road ends before an arching bridge of mold-encrusted stone that spans a natural chasm. And you can actually see that bridge right here that I've just marked. Gargoyles cloaked in black moss perch on the corners of the bridge, their frowns weather-worn. On the mountainous side of the bridge, a waterfall spills into a misty pool nearly 1,000 feet below. The pool feeds a river that meanders into the fog-shrouded pines that blanket the valley. And so I'll show you where that area is, because you can actually see it from the bridge, is this those falls that you can see up to the western side, right around, let's see, right here is where those falls kind of drop. So it's pretty impressive looking. The bridge itself is pretty slick with the moisture, because there's a mist all around here, basically, from the fall of the water.
Upon seeing said moldy bridge, said bridge covered with mold, of course, Wellner's like, ooh! And starts moving forward, pulling a pair of tweezers, you know, out of his robes and a couple of
mold, my favorite thing in the world.
Delightful, isn't it?
Mold, glorious mold. Okay,
God, so you, damn it! I was thinking the same thing.
All right.
There's no hope for us.
And you're able to gather that. As you cross over, you can see, so you can kind of move, and you can see that the thing is continuing to head up the mountain. And I will show a little bit more here to the side as you continue onwards.
You know, if they had a little bit more sunlight, these would be very well used to terrace them out, and you could grow fantastic grapes here.
Are you looking to start a vineyard, Weller?
And Irina says, I would welcome the chance to be able to enjoy a glass of wine, especially a fresh one. The only things that are grown here are basic to sustain us. Even the wine back in the tavern was not particularly good.
Well, a business opportunity if we ever survive this.
Oh, well, I personally, as
do you like to drink, Weller?
On occasion, but not to excess. But I personally think I would much rather return to my home. Neverwinter is much more to my satisfaction. Even Daggerford was not.
How would you like to bring Barovian wine back to Neverwinter?
You know, from what I've seen of Barovia so far, and knowing that there are rumors of Barovia outside back where we come from, along the shore, I think people might suspect that they're just bottles of tainted blood.
Perhaps. Just a thought.
Be able to sell them.
And if it was good, you could sell anything.
Well.
Okay. So, with this sort of talk, you continue. And actually, let me move Irina, and let me move Zarama, so I can make sure that she's sort of on track with the rest of you.
This plot line isn't done.
Okay,
we're coming right now.
Yeah. Well, I said like Weller could settle like him.
All right, Strahd's dead. Now we're making a
video. Oh man,
Barovian wine, it'll sell bottles, man. We'll move product. Let's go.
As you continue a little bit further, yeah, corner the market on vampiric wines. as you go, as you continue your way, you finally reach this crossroad. And at this point, a number of hours have passed. And it's now heading into basically early afternoon, essentially. And even here in the mountains, the forest and the fog are inescapable. Ahead of you, the dirt road splits in two, widening towards the east. There you see patches of cobblestone, so I'm talking about over this way, patches of cobblestone suggesting that the eastern branch was once an important thoroughfare. To the western side, however, of the road, as it leads up to the west, you see something.
The road is paved with human teeth.
Correct. You see from the impenetrable woods on both sides of the road, you see these high stone buttresses looming gray in the fog. Huge iron huge iron gates hang on to the stonework. Dew clings with cold tenacity to the rusted bars, and two headless statues of armed guardians flank the gates, their heads now lying among the weeds at their feet. They greet you only with silence. And this seems very familiar to all
of
you.
I was just about to...
Yeah, as if you've seen this before. You believe you've seen a set of gates like this when you first entered Barovia, when you first kind of entered, but it was far from here, and these gates look very, very similar to that. Not as much forest around them, but the same kind of gates.
Good, Yogi.
Do you want to move Arena, or whatever her name is, up?
Callista.
Like, can we move Aaliyah up here, please?
Move her. Move
Beyonce, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Beyonce, there you go. Beyonce Istmark, that's got a ring to it.
Move Lady Gaga, please. Yeah.
Exactly. Jesus Christ. Are we all pulling from the same joke pool?
Obviously. So the gates are closed, right, Arf?
The gates are closed at the moment, but you haven't like walked up to them yet.
Well, no. That's a bad idea in Barovia.
Which way is Crest?
I assume Crest is this way. It's northwest, isn't it?
And Zarama nods and points through the gates and says, that is the way we must go.
What's that way?
And she looks and she says, that is the home of Strahd, Castle Ravenloft. And Irina sort of almost shies away a little bit as she kind of like,
We could just end this right now if we wanted.
Yes. And then the adventure was over before page 50.
Have fun storming the castle.
As you walk up to the gates, they swing open at your approach.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, that makes getting the groceries inside very easy, doesn't it?
And the doors are now open.
Yes.
I'll walk through,
may as well. Over to one of the heads.
Exactly. Goes over one of the heads and what now?
Weller will go over to one of the heads and say, did you do that?
The head makes no reply.
Mason takes out two coconuts and goes, oh, look the brave going through.
Just put googly eyes on the statues.
Django also went, so, you know, there you go.
So once all of you are through, assuming that everyone is going to follow suit, once all of you have passed,
So once all of you have passed... Wait, Rob, did you vanish?
Oh, he's there.
He's just under somebody else.
No, I mean, like, in real life. Like, what? Well, I'm looking at the camera.
He is currently AFK.
Oh, he's AFK. All right, okay.
He's really right there. Somewhere to the left. If we could turn the cameras.
No, you just screwed the whole joke.
All right.
He's right there, Arv. Why can't you see him? Right there, right in the middle of his frame. Mm-hmm. Right there. Never mind. Apparently, jokes properly in upside down land. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. As you pass through the gates, as the last of you passes by, the gates smash close behind you.
That happens a lot around here.
And the road continues to pass on as time goes by.
I knew I should have grabbed some of that oil.
Okay. So. down from the road. So it continues to wind up and over, and it is probably closing in on evening. When you see something somewhat unusual, you might say, in the distance. Right here by the side of the road, and the road, of course, extends up here as well, so presumably the way to get to Crest continues to follow the road upwards. But
so wait, all these little hash marks, are there roads in the middle?
No, those are ridge marks. Those are ridge marks. So they're like, that's to indicate like slope. So basically there's like a slope around there. That's why you're wanting
in between them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You okay. can, yeah, I mean, like you'd have to go up them
to get a better vantage point, blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you.
And as you look off to the distance, you can see what looks like this old windmill that is off sort of almost by itself, basically, on the road over here. And just so you can see that the old
children saying our dad wants this.
Yeah, I know. I know. No, the old Svalich road.
Talking dog.
You can see that the old Svalich road.
Good, you found us. This is our new home. No.
We also have monsters here. Yeah, no.
Fuck off.
You can see here that the old Svalich road. Excuse me whilst I move the map for everybody else up here. The old Svalich Road transitions here from being a winding path through the Balanak Mountains, which Zarama tells you is what you've been passing through as you've been making this journey, to a lazy trail that hugs the mountainside as it descends into a fog-filled valley. And so mostly down below you, there's fog, with the only exception of right around it in the heart of the valley is a walled town near the shores of a great mountain lake. Its waters are dark and still. And right off in the distance here, and that's sort of like far down over in this area, by the way, is where you can see this village that I mentioned before. But right off in front of you, not very far down this path, you see a promontory, and atop the promontory is perched a dilapidated stone windmill, its warped wooden vanes stripped bare.
It's probably where he grinds your bones to make me bread.
Maybe not. Well, we've been traveling for a few hours. Have a short break, guys. Well,
yes,
we're going for a couple hours.
Yeah, it's closing in now. It's about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, probably. So it's starting to become a little dark.
And my legs are shorter than all of yours, so yes, please.
Perhaps we should set up camp here.
Fine with that.
Seems pretty safe. It's not much.
Don't say that.
Not much tree cover to hide.
Oh, look, I'm not sure anything is safe here, but we can at least try to make it a safe position.
Well, it would give us the high ground, so there is that.
Put the exactly windmill. My point. Put the windmill to our backs and face out towards the slope.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Fair enough. Shall we get it started then?
Yep.
Okay.
10 years right. From now, there will be a series of stones using, here lie 7 idiots who were killed by a rampant wind.
So you guys yes, are going to help
place the stones, Weller.
So just a quick question. Are you
out of ghosts?
Are you folks, so when you said put the towards the windmill, so you're going to go up to that promontory then, I assume, right? Because you got that higher ground. Okay,
so we'll have the windmill behind us, and we're going to build the camp that we're...
Is there like a door in the windmill?
Yes, so I was just about to describe that.
The only bad thing about this plan is that we are putting our backs to a windmill that we are trusting is not going to, like, turn into a monster and kill us.
I mean, I don't know what would make you think that, you know...
Because it's you,
Arnold. Battle chess.
Here lies...
Unfolds, eats the queen.
Here lies someone, Don Quixote. Paladin? A knight of some kind? I don't know
what you guys mean.
Don't stay here. Sorry, what's your name? Sancho Panza.
All right, I am going to show...
Hear my story, please.
I'm going to show all of you what you see as you approach this place. And I've just popped up a little picture for all of you.
That is quite the... That's actually a nice sketch. You said the veins were empty, you liar.
What? Say again?
That's a really nice sketch.
You said the veins were empty, you liar. They have bits of cloth on them.
I didn't say empty. I said it's pretty warped sure wooden veins are straight. Yes, I should say close to bare, let's say. The onion-domed edifice leans forward and to one side as though trying to turn away from the stormy gray sky. And you can see as you get closer that there are these gray brick walls and dirt-covered windows on the upper floors. A decrepit wooden platform encircles the windmill above a flimsy doorway leading to the building's interior. And perched on a wooden beam above the door is a raven.
it hops about and it squawks at you, seemingly agitated.
Yes, there you go.
That's a lovely salt shaker, by the way.
Eat my shorts. Anyways.
and Weller will call up to it in Sylvan, you know, what is it that what bothers you so much?
So make a insight check for me, please, Weller.
I would have thought it would have been, can you give me a sample of your poop?
Hey, that's next. Yes, that was trustworthy.
makes no reply.
It's much better at poop analysis than animals, obviously.
Yeah, it makes no reply. You get this sort of, actually, so as you do that, you kind of, it sort of, you know, kind of jumps back and forth on one foot again, and then jumps up and flies down and kind of circles, not in a threatening way, but circles around all of your heads several times. And then flies off.
Don't
to the northwest, over the forest. So to the northwest. So it makes several circles and flies off.
Some discretion, bird. Thank you. Okay.
Well, the place does look pretty much abandoned, right?
From where you are, I mean, you haven't obviously looked inside or anything, but I mean, from where you are, it looks pretty.
Indeed, DM. Indeed. But it would be
silly. Were we taking a rest here?
Yeah, yeah, but you were getting close enough that you could put it to your back, and that's what you see when you get close.
But it'd be
enough.
Silly to, you know, as put it to our back and let something come out, and as I think someone said, eat us. So
that would be I.
Yes, so we might.
I'll give it the old knock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go up and knock on it.
Okay. So when you knock on the door. There is a moment of sort of silence, and then you hear kind of a shuffling, like a shuffling across the floor. And then the door at the very bottom opens, and you see a haggard, heavy-set old woman with a face as wrinkled as a boiled apple on the other side of the door. And you can see that she is wearing a blood-stained, flour-caked apron. And there's a long, sharp bodkin which impales her bundled-up mound of gray hair. The chamber behind her, which you can barely see, seems to have this large millstone. So as she sort of looks at you, she says,
"Yes? What do you want?"
"Oh, ma'am, sorry to be... cause any problems, but do you mind if we camp outside your place? We've just been traveling for a while and we need a spot, and this looked like a really nice area."
And she says, "What do you mean, camp? This isn't a campsite."
"Well, we just sleep over there. Is that all right with you? You don't mind?"
And she sort of looks up and she says,
"We don't want any." And then she stops up and says, "On the other hand, perhaps you might be interested in some goods of ours first. Perhaps we can talk then about where you're going to stay. Perhaps first you'd like to come inside, for inside I have goods that might be of value to you. I can see your dreams are troubled, and perhaps I can assist you there."
"Does someone upstairs do a very close shave? Is that how this starts?"
She says, "I know no demon barbers of Fleet Street."
So she's there. And she says, "Here, come in, let's speak.
Probably won't eat anything, but it doesn't hurt to have a look."
And so she turns and hobbles inside, leaving the door open for you.
As she goes away, I just stop Alec for a second and I just look at him and go, "Be very cautious. She's hiding something. It is obvious. Just don't give her more information than she needs, okay, Alec?"
"Nah, I'll be fine."
Okay.
Bastard.
Let's take a look and make sure that I have got this ready to go. Just give me 1 second. As I am very glad that I checked all of this out. So bear with me one moment.
Besides, she seems pretty nice. So I, like, walk in and the door closes.
And then as Alec moves
she's
forward,
even keeping the heat again, in.
I look over to Django and just point at my head and just in my head go, be ready to defend yourself. This place, I don't trust it as far as I can smell it.
Always. The good thing is, of course, I'll probably go for the big guy first.
Well, Eric kind of leans over towards Alec and says,
"It's just as much as the spider usually weaves such a wonderful blanket for the fly it catches."
It's just an old lady. And a cat, apparently.
I knew it. Okay. Don't be alarmed. I'm not actually taking you back to Death House, although I'm sorely tempted.
That would be awesome.
Welcome to the sequel, Death
House. The ultimate troll. It's literally the Death House. Just
literally the Death House. I'm back. Yeah, no.
Oh, you've returned. Are you staying forever?
I'm trying to get... This is annoying because I'm trying to get to...
Lily has no more fucks to give anymore for the night, day, whatever.
So I want attention now after I brought in 2 lizards in 1 gulpful.
You know? 2 lizards.
Yeah, that's like
that's an Australian right cat there. Right there. Yeah.
Okay.
The part of the problem is
here we go.
From her perspective, you're talking to her a lot because she doesn't recognize that you're talking to us. So you know, of course you're interacting with her all the time.
Yeah, she's like, hey, what's up? Okay, so I would like all of you, please, to
roll
bring,
initiative.
Bring, oh. Yeah, no, bring your tokens onto this map.
Our giant tokens, whoa!
Oh my god.
Alec, where is my token?
Alec, wow, that is a very large token. All right, give me a second.
Alec, you are now the definition of thick, double C.
Mmm.
Oh man, really, Rob?
We really? Now have known the cast has gone on way too long, so there's a...
Okay, let's get rid of that.
Cat, just help me, cat, please.
Okay, here we go. All right.
They can't see it on cam, but the cat's like smooching my hand while I'm face palming. I don't know if they can saw it.
And by the way, that old lady looks crazy as fuck. I'm just saying.
Is that her actual picture? I love it.
Jesus. How are you getting our figures over there?
No, honestly, it's adorable the way your cat looks at you. It's just like, stop ignoring me, please.
Normally, you can just drag the stuff from your character down there. Let me see if I can do it.
I've disappeared.
And just open the journal. Oh, you may be. Are you outside in the?
There he is. Wow, he's huge. Thank you. There we go.
All yep. right, and then Mason, are you Rob? Are you able to bring Mason on, or do you need me to do that?
Please, I have no idea where.
And I don't have control either. Arbor,
you have a... All right, I'll give me just 1 sec.
Speed of cats, my own is they're doing an insurrection, apparently. I'll be right back.
Okay, it represents...
I'm the D&D player now.
Okay, that should be controlled by him. Let me do the same for you.
Can't control Mason. That's because I'm trying to do it on the fucking stream again. God damn
it. Got...
It looks exactly the same.
Can you double check and make sure that you can control it or not?
I'm going to check it right now. I can't move it.
Oh, man. All right.
The Twitch page.
So, okay. So, I want to describe what you see when you're in here. So,
there we go.
There is, first of all, I'm going to ask people to make a perception check in just a second. Mm-hmm. As you come in, she has this broom that she's sweeping. And you can see that there's a sort of cloud of white dust that's being stirred up with her broom. But you also see that she's pushing a couple of long white objects around on the ground. And as you look closer, you're pretty confident that those are bones that she's pushing around.
The dirt-caked windows allow very little light to enter this 8-foot-high chamber, and most of that chamber is taken up by this large millstone connected to a wooden gear shaft that rises through the ceiling in the center of the room. A stone staircase continues up toward the sound of loud cackling.
Wait, she's here, but there's loud cackling coming from upstairs.
Correct.
Delightful.
And when you come in, she says,
So, if there's need that you want for good dreams, I have something prepared for you. You can see them right there. They're just fresh out of the oven.
And she points over, and you can see right about, let's see, here, you can see what looks like there is some kind of stone something which is glowing from coals inside, and on the very edge of it, you see a set of these brown, what look like sort of large flat cakes that are basically lined up in a row. There look to be about maybe 7 or 8 of them. And she says,
a single gold for each of these will provide you with some stronger, better dreams than you may have had in the past. A chance to get away from the darkness of Barovia. Perhaps you can do this and sleep well as you camp outside somewhere not on our lands, of course.
But what about a copper piece?
She says,
a copper piece would not begin to come close to what is needed here, and that is good dreams. A copper piece is an insult. A gold piece is all that it will take for you to leave your worries behind.
I would not want to insult, and the copper piece disappears, and Weller casts detect thoughts.
Okay. So, let me talk about
Eat you all. There you go.
It'll be fine, guys. They're totally normal cakes.
And you, what are you, the baker here?
What were their names, Sod? What were their names?
They're only, quote, dream cakes. It's not that bad.
Those dreams have to come from?
I keep waiting for the windmill to spout 3 chicken legs going running across the hills, for God's sake.
I'm expecting the last people who took an order to go, more hot pies, more pies.
Okay. You're able to do this. When you cast this, the thought that you get most is money. Like, the surface level thought is profit. Like, I can sell some wares.
Buy my crap. What is the cakes? Is there like a baking smell? Does it smell like you're baking?
It does. It smells like freshly baked bread.
Made out of flour or bones?
Or bones.
I mean, I don't know.
Because there would be a big difference between those 2 cents.
The overwhelming smell that you get of this smells like sort of, you know, maybe the wheat of the actual bread that went into it. You don't know if you don't really smell like, and you don't necessarily smell it as bone meal, but it definitely does smell not like, you know, a loaf of fresh rye bread or something like that. But it does smell like freshly baked bread of some kind.
Madam, what is so special about your bread? What makes it, what allows it to create good dreams, would you say?
And she says, you know what, I read you an incorrect description. I'm sorry.
It gives you bad dreams.
It was close to the right description. I mean, like the haggard, heavyset woman, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing about the millstone is that not this floor. I'm sorry. This floor has been, it's confusing the way it's laid out. So I'm sorry. Let me answer that and then you can ask that question again, Ram. So the ground floor has been converted into a makeshift kitchen, which is what you're looking at. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, that doesn't actually look like the description. And now I understand why. There's no millstone. Yeah. Now I get it. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. So the
the room is filthy. There are baskets and old dishware piled everywhere. Adding to the clutter is a peddler's cart, a chicken coop, a heavy wooden trunk, and a pretty wooden cabinet with flowers painted on its doors. In addition to the clucking of the chickens, you hear toads croaking. The sweet smell of pastries blends horridly with the stench that burns your nostrils, and the awful odor comes out of an open upright barrel in the center of the room. Warmth issues from a brick oven against one wall. That's the one that I pointed to before that has the pastries on it. And a crumbling staircase ascends the wall across from it. But there are shrieks and cackles which are coming from higher up. So basically, I just put in, I forgot about the, I just read the wrong entry. So the, but regardless.
Do I recognize what the not particularly pleasant smell is? Does that ring any bells to me?
It might. Make a... I'll take like a knowledge... Well, I'm gonna say... You know what? Hold on a second. I'm gonna look at your character sheet before I answer this question because I wanna...
Give me a knowledge cannibal kitchen roll.
Well, I know what the scent of rotting smell. What, whatever the fuck I just said.
Rotting smell.
Yeah.
You can't even speak it.
I know what the scent of rotting flesh smells like.
Right. No, it's not that. Yeah. Make. Let me have you make a history check for me, please. But you can do this at +3.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic, yeah.
Not a very good roll.
Okay.
So that's 12.
Yeah, it does smell a little familiar to you, but it's not... It doesn't... It seems kind of like you've smelled something like this before, but not exactly in the same... Not in the same...
Where would I pinpoint it? Like, what would it... It couldn't be something from Barovia, because it would have had to have been something that I either experienced...
Right.
Here, or
this doesn't strike you as particularly Barovian. That's right.
Huh.
And now, having said that, now you can ask the question you're going to ask, and I apologize to chat and everybody for the incorrect description. Sorry. So
what is it about your pies that makes them particularly giddy towards one's dreams? Dreams.
And she laughs and she says, "Oh, that's easy. We use our special abilities, you see. We've been cooking a long time, and we provide in our pastries a way for you to, if you will, escape reality for a short period of time. Lovely, wonderful dreams are yours. You can find different places, different things that you would never have imagined. The mists will fade, and you will see a clear sunrise and beautiful valleys beyond. Anything you wish can be yours with one of our pastries. And once you're finished with it, of course, you can always buy more if you need to."
"And despite all that, what if I wish to not have one of your pastries and just decided to go leave and make camp somewhere else? Would that be okay with you too?"
"Oh, that is certainly up to you. If you wish to go elsewhere, you are at liberty to do so. But you'll be missing out. I use only the finest ingredients."
"That settles it for me. The rest of you can make whatever decision you want, but I'm perfectly fine not having a pastry right now."
Weller pulls out another coin, but it's gold.
Okay.
And ding, flicks it to her. "I'll take one, please."
And she says, "Excellent! You can take one right from the end there. That one on the left should be wonderful. Perfect texture, perfect temperature. Enjoy your dreams, sir."
I've no doubt. Thank you so much.
I want to keep a very close eye on Weller as he's about to partake of this.
Well, yeah, so he goes over and takes it, I assume. Now, what are you doing with it at this point, Weller?
Weller mage hands it and picks it up.
Okay.
And brings it over to him and then just sort of tucks it into his robe.
Does she respond at all to seeing that?
No. Nope.
pretty much since it pretty much floats across the room to him?
No.
All right, just curious.
Nope. Doesn't seem to notice. Or doesn't really care. Doesn't seem to care.
Well, now that we've done that, we should probably be on our way. We do have a long journey left to go. Actually, and I sort of looked at everybody like, could we please get the fuck out of here? We get away from this actually, fucking Mason, clone who's out of her damn mind.
Say, aren't you curious about the cackling coming from upstairs?
I was just about to say, you said we.
Yes. And do you say that out loud to her?
Yeah.
And she says, well, yes, me, of course, and my sisters. We do the wookier, the baking, the cooking, and, of course, the making of dreams. That is part of our job here. They are upstairs operating the millstone to grind what is needed for these pastries, the delicious ones that your intelligent friend with good taste has just partaken of.
And how many sisters do you have?
Two only, at least two that are here. Three of us there are.
And I look over at Django again, and I'm kind of going like this, and I'm looking at him, and in my head I'm going, not good, not good. Three sisters, not good. Get them towards the fucking door.
Will any of the rest of you have any of my delicious pastries? We have worked so hard on these, and the dreams you will receive will be the ones of a lifetime. We've worked very hard on them. Again, only the best ingredients await.
I have another question.
Certainly.
So when we were looking at when we were approaching the windmill, I noticed that the vanes are not turning at all. So you say that, please don't, this is so terribly rude of me to say, how old are you and your sisters? Because if they are turning that millstone by hand, that must be, you must be incredibly strong willed to be able to move a heavy,
he just trails off like that.
I was gonna say. And he says,
"I can come with some interest in waiting for an answer on that too."
And he says, "Well," or she said, "He."
I'm sorry.
Sorry. He. Ha ha. No. It's actually she. So she says, "Blakopkis." Blakopkis. She says. She says,
we have worked here for some time. We have learned ways to make the millstone turn more easily. But yes, it can be difficult. Here we are, three lonely people here in the wilderness. All that keeps us going is the chance to have enough money to sustain our meager living. We have managed to get by, but we must turn the millstone by hand. That is what gives our pastries, of course, their special homemade quality.
Well, I do believe that if anybody else would like one of your pies, they should buy it, and then we should not interrupt your day any further than we already have. We do have a long journey ahead of us. And we do, of course, appreciate your hospitality and will move on without camping in front of your...
What's wrong with this place? It's pretty good. Not in here, outside.
And while Weller is talking to her, he's using his mage hand behind her to scoop up some of the white stuff that she's sweeping up.
Okay.
And to gather a sample that he's going to put into a jar.
I'm going to ask you to make an arcana check on this, Weller. I want to see whether she notices you doing this.
Okay.
I would say stealth, but I think arcana is going to be better here because...
Right. Well, Weller gives me advantage on arcana checks. So.
Okay. Right. Well, but I'm hung by monkeys.
But now that's a
well. Nine. Yeah, that worked well.
So she turns around because as the hand is like moving around, like you know, doing this, she kind of bumps and she sort of turns around and looks at the hand and then looks at you. And
the hand is invisible.
Okay, well, then she looks at the dust that is being suspended in midair, and she looks back at you, and her eyes narrow a little bit, and she says,
"Well, well, more information you want, is it? But all I'm doing is sweeping the floor. I don't know why you should want dust from it. Perhaps it would be better if you were to leave it behind."
"Oh, as you wish, no problem. I have a tendency to collect weird things, mushrooms and mold and lichen and occasionally horse urine. These folks will attest to that." And he just starts rambling again about all the various things that he's taken samples of.
She's still staring directly at the dust.
He's already...
Oh, you already dropped it. Okay. So... Yeah, she sort of, she doesn't nod. She just sort of is looking at you, steadily.
Well,
Mike, you were about to say that?
Ma'am, we should definitely take our leave. Thank you for the pies. If anybody else would like one, please pay the nice lady, and shall we be off?
Is she sweeping bones with among the dust? The
door.
There are a few bones on the ground, it looks like.
And how large are those bones?
Children's size. No.
Almighty. They look to be old, maybe smallish bones, but they might be animal bones. It's not 100% clear. They certainly don't look like, you know, big adult bones, but you don't know if they would be human or not. You need to be able to inspect them more closely to find that out.
And I will try to mind.
Are we staying or are we going?
And I will try to mind speak her directly and ask, "Do you have a rodent problem, grandmother?"
And she looks at you, and in your head, you hear,
"No, child. I like to take curious mice and remove them."
And none of the rest of you hear that. Only Django hears that in his head.
And is that still within the 1 minute of surface or the surface thoughts?
No, not at this point. Remember, you've been rambling for a while.
That's true.
As you said. So.
Then not at Django. I, Alec, if you have anything to purchase, I suggest you do it and we'd be on our way.
Well, I don't want any bread.
Wait, Django, you just said you're not at Django.
I nodded you as at the door, basically.
Oh,
I'm talking else, to Alec to get him moving.
Anything else interesting? Maybe, like, I know, some healing potions? Who knows? Maybe you've got something that,
No! No healing potions here! Who needs health when you have good dreams, my friend?
I do. I need health. Sometimes you do as well. And he's just muttering to himself as he's
bloody hell. I'm going
to
move towards the door. Can I move towards the door?
All right. Okay.
Everyone else is thinking, well, ma'am, thank you for your time. Sorry you didn't buy more of your bread, but have a good day.
And she nods and watches you silently as the rest of you exit.
You still don't mind if we decide to camp out here. Is that okay with you?
And she says,
we would prefer you not camp nearby. Perhaps if you could go, a quarter of a mile, over a couple of ridges and hills. We are not a hotel, you see.
That's very precise, but thank you.
And she nods and waits as you leave. And as you leave, you sort of hear her cackling as the door closes behind her. Mm-hmm. And as you exit, and this is probably the first time because you actually entered the windmill and then you were coming out literally now with it right behind you. Looking out and up to your right, all of you can see that there are these four large, almost looking like obelisks, but not quite that sort of refined. They're these huge stones that are standing above the hill, and above the stones, several ravens are circling. And as you exit, they all caw almost in unison, One flies down near you, and another one flies, so one of the two flies down to you, and the other one lands on top of one of the stones. And the raven lands in front of you, Weller, and looks up at you and at Django with very intelligent eyes. And,
grah, grah,
and then turns and sort of, literally, it almost looks like it's moving its wing in the direction of the four stones.
Is this one bigger than usual? This raven?
Ravens at their can get fairly large, actually. Yeah. Crows, if you've ever seen a crow, well, crow is a big-ass bird. A raven kin. Correct. I see what you're saying. Right, you're not sure about that, but you do know, Django, that ravens are often associated, bizarrely, with good things, not necessarily bad things within Ravenloft. They, not all of them, but many of them...
They're in the name, for crying out loud.
Yes. So anyway, it seems to be directing you towards the one of the stones on which its compatriot is perched.
So they're kind of like Dolmirs, basically?
Yes. There you go. Okay. Thank you. I haven't heard that since Asterisk comics, but yes.
There you go. Go ahead.
As we're outside, okay.
I know. Hang on.
Where'd everybody go?
Sorry, I got to move you back
we're not there either.
There we go.
I like that the end of what I just saw in Roll 20 was like, parenthetical, sort of. Yeah, it's sort of where we are. Where are we?
I will bring you over to the ship.
Oh, I see. On.
It's all dark.
Oh, wait. Like this. There we go.
Yes.
There we are. Sorry about that.
For the record, the reason I was so concerned is because from where I come from, there is an old, let's call it a legend, of things that come in three. The fates, witches, crones, good things, bad things. The sisters three is always a certain omen. Not necessarily of bad things, but most times not of good things. I figured it was better for us to be out here than in there to discover their true meaning. And Weller, I would definitely do some tests on that pie before you eat it.
I do think I bought it in the first place.
I know.
Then why are you saying it?
Because it's important.
The one in front. The bird flaps its wings and again, it's, sort of like.
Down this way?
Yes. Or up this way, really.
There's an old saying, Weller, great minds think alike.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, so, Django, where are you going? Django.
He's falling. He's like, wait, Django. Okay. So you notice, by the way, that Zarama is sort of being very quiet as you go up this towards these stones.
Hey, we don't
stones.
Have our dog here either. No, he turns back and says, when the ravens are summoning you, it is best to listen.
Each of
that, he starts walking over to the Dolmirs.
And are the rest of you following to the Dolmirs?
Well, yep. Yeah, Weller sure. Was going to look at the raven and kind of hold out an arm and be like, you want to ride?
And it actually shakes its head, a very human gesture almost, and then takes off, but it flies like, you know, not far from you, like basically circles around, and leads you up, and then it lands, on the same stone as, one of its others, one of the other one that was landing there. These stones, as you get up to the top, you can see that they are covered with, you'll be happy to hear this, Weller, moss. And there seem to be carvings on each of these stones. The carvings, as you look at them, seem to be of cities. And they're very elaborate, these carvings. One of them seems to look as if there is this city which is arrayed in flowers. There's another city which has a sunburst overhead. There is a city which seems to be covered in leaves. You see, like, large leaves carved on its surface. And then one that just has what looks like maybe a cover of snow on the top of it. And in the middle of these four stones is a smaller stone, sort of like a, I hate to say, I don't mean altar, but like, you know, like a plinth of some kind, right? On which there is, the raven flies down from the top of the stone to that and begins to peck at something on top of this stone. And this stone that's in the middle is basically nearest, it's in the middle of the four, but it's not right in the middle. It's nearest to the stone that has the city with the leaves covering over it. And the raven seems to be pecking at something on top of the stone.
So can we actually get a look at on the map itself?
Well,
no.
Not any more than where you are. Like, they're, like, I don't actually...
Oh, I'm going up to the... So I'm standing outside the circle. I'm standing outside the stone construction. Stone, you know, thing.
Right. But I don't have any pictures of that for you, if that's what you mean.
It's not marked on the map, basically.
Correct, that's right. Yeah, where I took you is basically the spot that's there.
Okay, that's close by. All so right. I see.
Yep. Interesting. So you see that the raven is pecking at something on top of the stone that is next to this or near the city, stone that shows the city with the leaves on it.
I'm gonna go walk up to the smaller one and look at what the hell it's pecking at.
It looks to be pecking at a dream pastry, one of those flat cakes, just like the one that Weller got. And as you look, you can see that the stone behind it, there's a stone, and then behind it, there is an area of flat ground that seems to have been cleared off of grass. There's just dirt there. And in the center of that dirt is a small pile of what are clearly small human children's